B-Pod Studios.
Station. Sports Hub headlines.
Well, Wednesday night, Brad Marchand had a hat trick and the Bruins won. Last night, another win for the Bruins and another hat trick, but this time from a different guy.
Right of the net, Marchand looking back door to Pastrnak in the slot, shoots, deflected, spun up to the top right wing circle. Pastrnak shoots, he scores!
That can only be Judd Surratt here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. David Pastrnak scored all three goals for the Bruins for his 11th career hat trick in a 3-2 win over Philadelphia at TD Garden. The Bruins' next game is tomorrow at home against Nashville. The NHL All-Star teams were announced yesterday. Patrice Bergeron voted as the Bruins' representative for the Atlantic Division. Montreal's Chris Wideman was suspended for one game by the NHL yesterday for his headbutt to the face of the Bruins' Eric Halla. The Patriots were without Isaiah Wynn and Kyle Duggar at practice yesterday. They are two of 13 players listed as questionable for their first-round playoff game in Buffalo tomorrow night. Nine of the 13 players are starters, including Christian Barmore, Damian Harris, and Dante Hightower. The Houston Texans have fired head coach David Culley. Patriots assistant Gerard Mayo and former Miami head coach Brian Flores are reportedly the top candidates to replace him. And the Celtics play in Philadelphia tonight. Granny and Max have the pregame at 6:30 and the tip-off at 7 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Marcus Smart is listed as questionable. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. Don't miss out on joining this great team. All 99 restaurants are hosting a hiring event on Tuesday, January 18th. Visit 99restaurants.jobs to find out more and love where you work. I'm John Wallach on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 9:30.
Boston sports fans need, and it's a forward.
Oh, they're looking for that.
They haven't seen anything like that, nor has anybody. I haven't seen one.
98.5, thesportshub.com.
To make a great sports talk radio show work, you got to know when to talk.
Did you take anything specifically away from that game?
And when to listen.
What did we really learn about this team yesterday?
John, that is the exact question Rich just asked.
Thanks.
Is that right?
For listening.
How did I miss that?
To Toucher and Rich on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Look, they're a good offense. You know, the key for us is, when we get them in third down, we've got to be able to convert on third down. If they convert on third down, then, you know, literally you're out there all day. And that's pretty much what happened in the second game. You know, we had, you know, a number of third down opportunities, third down and, you know, 8, 9, 10 yards. And, you know, there was, I would say, too many of those that, you know, we had opportunities to get off the field on and we couldn't do it.
Gutcher and Rich, watch us on Twitch. It's just habit now to promote it. People start watching us on Twitch to make Nick feel better. It's really pathetic.
What are our numbers today? How are we doing? We were 400.
So when I get this nasal surgery, right, like my face is going to be all jacked up for quite some time. And like, I don't even care about being on it, because what do I care about 400 people? I mean, come on.
I just know who wants to look at faces just talking.
I find it uncomfortable because when I get home and I turn on the TV, like generally my wife has had us on in the background on Twitch, and it's a replay of the show, and I'm like, ugh, who wants to look at me?
Chicks, mm-hmm. Lots of good-looking chicks.
Yeah, but then you got to go through, you got to change clothes before you go to work, because you've put on your clothes for the day, then you've watched us and then soiled them with.
A good point. It's a public service.
I mean,
I understand.
You've become so aroused that you have to mm-hmm. change clothes. Matt Fairburn covers the New England Patriots for theathletic.com. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. And Matt, you have also covered the Bills. And I have to hand it to the Bills fans. They are very, very smart. There are a lot of tickets still available. Because unless you are paying me, I ain't going to that game.
Yeah. I just thought it would be the last fan base that would do this.
I guess
get
the Canada,
$30 tickets.
I guess the Canadian situation isn't helping either. Like, they have a lot of Canadian fans.
All those people in Toronto that used to get all those neutral games would drive down.
Garbage.
Buffalo's really small, Rich. I mean, if they rely on people coming over from Canada, I mean, that's...
But, I mean, they've been selling out every game, haven't they? This one's just different. I mean, because...
Well, listen, I wouldn't go, so who am I to talk? But but Matt Fairburn will be there and enjoying it. Matt Fairburn, actually, standing room only seat. There he has had to purchase. He had to buy
his way
in. Why
the low ticket sales? Like, why are there so many empty seats other than it just being cold? Because I'm not buying that with Buffalo fans.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre, honestly. I think it's a combination of extreme cold, really high COVID numbers in the area, and probably the border situation.
Thank you.
Which is in conjunction with COVID, because, you know, you need to jump through all sorts of hoops to get across the border and get to this game. So I think, like Fred mentioned, because it's not a huge market and you factor in, you know, COVID and the border and things like that, it puts a dent in the numbers and all of a sudden, you know, tickets are up for sale. But I'm shocked how low the prices got, because this is going to be the first time they have a home playoff game with full capacity since the mid-90s. Yeah. Last year, you know, they had limited capacity for those home games in the postseason. You would think that people would be, you know, over the moon about getting a chance to be in the stadium for a game like this against the Patriots. But there's a lot of factors, I think, that have just caused it to be a little bit of a, you know, weird ticket market.
As long as the dildo guy gets in, that's really what we're focused on here.
Well, to your point, Matt, they're the best seats in the house, which I think we agreed were the best, and that is halfway up the bottom section.
I'm upper deck 50-yard line first row. That's me.
That's a great one. But if you were to argue, you'd say halfway up the bottom section, there were 10 in a row that were $200 each. So for the best seat in the house, arguably, the tickets were only $200. Because I know people are like, $30? That's the nosebleeds. No, the good ones are next to nothing anyway, which, as I was saying earlier, that's about as much of as the cost to buy a hat from the new Brady brand thing. It's very, very inexpensive.
Yeah, I can tell you that first row in the upper deck is not the best seat in that house. With the temperatures and the wind.
Oh, yeah. But Matt, so I went to a game, and one of my best friends is a big Buffalo fan, and he goes, just sit in the Jim Kelly section. He's like, trust me, you don't want to be. And so we get into the Jim Kelly section. My friend has this like jet stuff on, and these two guys come up to us, and they go, hey, you know, welcome. You're lucky you bought the tickets down here, so you're not down there with the animals. So even the Buffalo fans were like, this was a good decision by you to be in the Kelly section. So, Matt, a lot has been made of, even though the sample size is very small, but a lot has been made about Josh Allen. He struggles in the cold. Obviously, he's made statements that, to me, seem obvious that he doesn't like playing in the cold. What is the relevance of that? Do you buy that this is a problem with him?
I buy that it's enough of a problem to potentially impact the game on Saturday. I don't know that he's drastically worse than other quarterbacks in the cold, but over, you know, you look back at history, there haven't been that many games that have been as cold as it's projected to be on Saturday night. I found three since 2000 that have been this cold, and you know, the passing numbers in those games just aren't, you know, great. I think Brett Favre was amazing in the cold. Brady never seemed to have a huge problem with it. Aaron Rodgers has been good. Mahomes has been good. I think it makes Josh Allen human. You know, it probably lowers the probability that you're going to see Josh Allen have a game like he had in Week 16. And in that context, I think it's relevant and worth considering, because I think if the Patriots are going to win this game, Josh Allen needs to be human. He can't be the quarterback he was in their second matchup if they're going to have a chance. Because, you know, when I pointed out some of the Josh Allen's numbers in the cold, you know, I had a lot of people, you know, saying, well, yeah, what about Mac Jones? I don't think anybody thinks Mac Jones is going to transform into Tom Brady in the cold on Saturday night.
No, they can't depend on him, right? So, like, yeah.
I think the Patriots will be fine with that, though, right?
Right, exactly.
You know, if it's a game where neither team can throw, that's advantage Patriots.
Well, we saw that.
That's where it matters.
Yeah, we saw that. But one of the factors of containing Josh Allen is Judon, who hasn't been himself. Are you hearing anything about him maybe being hurt a little bit?
You know, he mentioned that he hurt his ribs in that first Bills game, and I feel like that's an injury that can linger on a guy, but I don't know. You know, the guy hasn't been on the injury report. He hasn't really, you know, missed any practice time, so it feels a little too convenient to lay it all on an injury situation. It's possible that he's worn down because, you know, he was playing really well at the beginning of the season. But to me, I mean, Matt Judon needs to be early season Matt Judon for them to contain Josh Allen. It's a huge part of their pass rush. And, you know, getting after Josh Allen is a big deal because in that second game, he made 16 throws from outside the pocket. That was a season high for him. I mean, they didn't sack him once. They got some pressure, but they never brought him down. So I don't know what's up with Matt Judon, to be honest with you. The production hasn't been there. You know, you could say that perhaps, you know, he's just not playing well. He's not winning one-on-one matchups. I know he thinks there might be some times where he's getting held a little bit. And I think that rib injury might have lingered on him. But everybody's playing with something at this time of year. And I think, you know, they're paying him to be a guy that can make a difference in a game like this.
Yeah, and they're paying him, and he's old for his position. All right, so speaking, you mentioned worn down. Mac Jones is, you got to feel for the kid. I mean, this has got to be incredibly taxing this season on him. You know, and he hasn't, outside of Jacksonville, looked that great. What do you think, that it's a situation of him being worn down, him dealing with stuff that he hasn't had to deal with before in terms of his body?
I think there's a little bit of that. It could be even worn down mentally. You know, yeah. I mean, he played about as long a college football season as you can play last year, rolled right into the pre-draft process. He went from playing for Nick Saban to playing for Bill Belichick. He had to, you know, win a quarterback competition. He's played a lot of football and hasn't really had a mental, you know, break other than that bye week. So I think some of that is at play. I think there's probably teams figuring out how to play him. You know, some of the mistakes that it seems like he's making are, you know, mental more than anything. You know, that throw to Xavien Howard was just one that it seems like he's been sharper than that for most of the season. So I think there's some of that, but frankly, you know, I don't think the Patriots win this game because of Mac Jones. You know, I don't think that's the formula that they've had all season long. So he just needs to not make those backbreaking mistakes. I mean, he's thrown three pick sixes this season. You can't have a play like that in a playoff game, not against a team that you're somewhat outmatched against, like the Bills. So whatever he's going through, he needs to kind of lock back in here, because the last month or so just hasn't looked right. And, you know, I think there's probably some of the factors that you're mentioning that he's hitting the wall a little bit.
All right, so from all of the different injuries that we're seeing, and, you know, the people who are limited to practice, which one are you the most concerned about, the player you're most concerned about not playing on Saturday?
Probably Isaiah Wynn, with, you know, multiple injuries, not finishing that game on Sunday. That seems like one that's going to be tough. You know, he didn't participate in practice twice this week. So I'd say he has, you know, the longest odds of the questionable guys. And then, you know, the guy that's not on the injury report, Jalen Mills, is up in the air as well. And he's maybe the most important of the group. But a lot of these guys are really important to what they do. And, you know, I think they're purposefully probably leaving a lot of it, you know, up to a guessing game for their opponent and for the rest of us. But, you know, Christian Barmore and Jamie Collins are huge to what they do rushing the passer. You've got Jalen Mills, who, you know, the options behind him aren't exactly inspiring. But as far as guys that I don't, you know, that I'm not super confident will play, it's Isaiah Wynn is at the top of the list, just because he hasn't gotten practice time. And those types of injuries for a tackle seem like they're going to be tough, especially when he didn't finish the game.
Real quick, John, I know you have a question, but I just wanted to ask, you mentioned Mills. His timeline lines up COVID-wise in that they would find out, what, like the day of game?
Yeah.
That he would be able to play?
Yeah, essentially. And it depends on whether he's vaccinated or not, but even if he's not, he has a chance to test out. I think he would have to fly separately if that were the case. So he's got it. He is right up against it. So depending on what his symptoms are and things like that, you know, everybody was pretty hush-hush about how he was feeling. Sounds like they have, you know, plenty of contingency plans in place, but I think that they'd obviously like to have him, and they have a chance. It would be cutting it pretty close, though.
Who's the best Patriots best option at left tackle if Wynn can't go? I mean, I saw you guys talk to Trent Brown, and it was news to Trent Brown that they'd flip him from one side to the other, but who's the guy?
I feel like Trent Brown is the best option. I just don't know if that's the option that they're going to go with, because we haven't seen them do that. Justin Heron would be the guy that would step in, but if you can move Trent Brown to left and put Mike Onwenu in at right tackle, that feels like it's their best five if Isaiah Wynn can't play. But I know if you do that, then you're essentially replacing two spots, you know, both tackle spots.
But it's not, they're not unfamiliar positions. Both have played those positions before. It's not like you're significantly weakening them. And we're told Big Mike is good wherever you put him, right?
I agree. I'm with you. They're, you know, they seem to lean in the direction of having as much continuity as possible on the offensive line. But for a one game fix, Trent Brown has played plenty of left tackle for this, for the Patriots, you know, and so, you know, Big Mike is, you know, played all over the place and has been playing as an extra tackle on that side of the line of scrimmage anyways. So I think for one game, you know, especially in the playoffs, you can get by, you know, operating with Trent Brown. I feel like it's their best five. I'm curious about whether they will actually do it, because it does take out of the equation that six offensive lineman formation that they like to use. But I'd rather have a solid starting five of, you know, really talented players than, you know, have the option to run six offensive linemen 10 plays a game or whatever it is.
All right, Matt Fairburn will be in the wonderful confines of whatever the hell the stadium in Buffalo is called now. He writes for The Athletic. Check him out. We appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Have a good one.
All right, we appreciate it. So there you go. The weather. The weather, baby.
Yep. We'll see. If they can just snap their fingers and play like they did, you know, a month and a half ago, then maybe, just maybe, they'll have themselves a shot. I just have seen nothing over the last few weeks that makes me feel confident. I just think that they've run out of gas or they're injured, one of the two. I don't feel confident at all going into this game.
All right, we will be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Right of the net, Marchand. Looking back door to Pastrnak in the slot. Shoots, deflected. Spun up to the top right wing circle. Pastrnak shoots, he scores! Start throwing him. It's all Pasta. David Pastrnak with his 11th hat trick. And the Boston Bruins with a 3-2 lead over the Flyers. It's a power play goal.
Oh, man, I was so happy to have him back. You have no idea. I was ready to leave it all out there for him. I told him I'm going to get hat trick before the game, and he didn't believe me. And it's really good to have him back. You know, he's one of my closest friends, and I missed him, obviously. So he was outstanding. You know, the saves he made, and I could be sitting here for 15 minutes talking about him. So I have a high praise for him.
Thanks.
Yeah, David Pastrnak, I liked what you had to say about your friend.
Thanks.
Do you have any plans for after the game?
Oh.
Play
Monopoly?
You're going to play what?
Monopoly.
Okay, good.
Oh.
I like that.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Oh, nothing.
Thank you.
Just getting really excited for the weekend. You know, you guys are playing. I wish you well.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Easy hooks.
Huh?
Easy hooks? What is that? Oh, easy hooks. Okay, I don't know what he's talking about there.
Just made me nice fruitcake.
Okay, well, I'm glad you like the fruitcake there, Pasta. I appreciate it.
That is
pasta.
Very nice.
Yeah, I know you like pasta. Thank you very much. Have they cured the biggest sin in sports, and that is to be unwatchable? They have been excellent product over the last couple of weeks, basically since the New Year's game around.
Yeah,
the games have been entertaining. There's been fights. There's been aggression. There's been scoring.
I've been watching them. I have been watching them, but I have to tell you that it all seems like the end is inevitable, and that is more postseason disappointment.
Maybe. And I think that they've got the formula for that. I think you're right. But at least we have, you know, the thing that in this time of year is just give me something to watch. Give me something that's just where I don't feel like I'm being insulted or my time is being wasted. The way that until this last couple of games, I have felt about the Celtics for most of this season, where like you invest time and, you know, I know better than to get excited when they're up by 20 points because you know they're going to blow it. But at least with the Bruins, and it's really been ever since Cassidy's kind of shaken up the lines.
Well, I'll tell you this. Is the assist rate, the points rate for Hall has been very impressive since that. As Fluto Shinzawa had an article about how the speed that he's surrounded with now allows him to do, I guess he's pretty held back, as players that aren't on the first line generally are, was pretty held back by the lack of speed on the second line, and now that they're fast. Who's on the other side besides Pastrnak? There, Jenny.
Pastrnak, Hall, and Halla.
Yeah, Halla. And so I guess Halla can keep up. So this is allowing Hall to not only he's not score first now. He's able to distribute
two goals and seven assists in the last nine.
Yeah. So I mean, it's reinvigorated Hall. I mean, this is all nice to see. If my son didn't have a game a day for the whole weekend, I would go to the game tomorrow. But that's a tough ask to go to the game and then go watch the Patriots at 8:30. So that's a little bit of... I'm old, if you don't know. And so, I go and I like seeing the Stars play well. And I like seeing that. But the problem is... And I love the Stars on this team. I mean, I really do. And and the defense has been great and surprising and but just the lack of secondary scoring is just not going to go away. It's just not going to happen. And I don't think there's much they can do about it.
No, you're right. You're right. But I mean, once again, you're getting scoring now from two lines instead of just one. On top of that, you do have a fourth line that's kind of
the fourth line.
The
fourth line is whatever. I don't concern myself with the fourth line.
As I said, Fred, I am not looking at this team right now as how can they win a championship. I'm looking at them as how can you not kill me every night when I turn the TV on.
No, I'm watching them. In the beginning of the season, I wasn't because I was so fed up with their off season. So I told everyone, I told the audience that I wasn't watching them. I am now, and like I said, if my kid didn't have these games, maybe I'd go with friends or something for my birthday, go out to one of these games. But it is watchable, and Pastrnak and Marchand having hat tricks and Bergeron being an all-star and
the
Hall
young
picking
guys
up his
coming
game.
Up and being physical, like the dudes are calling up are like, you know, they're doing what they can to try to make a name for themselves.
I understand all of that, but it's just John's in the same boat. It just seems you're steering the ship into this. They're going to make the playoffs. That's going to happen.
They've separated themselves from that wild card pack.
Yeah,
they're gaining on Toronto, who had a huge lead for third place. I think the deficit's 5 points now.
Yeah, and they've probably got a million games in hand.
The Bruins still has five. No, they only have one game in hand on Toronto. But key is they still have five straight home games to play here.
Right. Okay.
Again, Nashville's really good, but the Bruins are playing at home seven in a row at this time of year,
and they're rolling, and it's good. But I just don't see how they can do something to correct the problems that they have.
You know what else is kind of a good thing that is, you know, almost kind of a side effect of bringing back Tuukka Rask
is I think those guys really enjoy playing in front of him. I think there's
that's what they said.
Way they're all talking about it, to where it's like an excitement that this team has when they take the ice and Tuukka's in net.
But the guys that are excited are the guys that we know and the guys that have been performing all season. So I mean Pasternak's turned it on. He was slow. He was got off to a slow start, but I mean, the guys that are going to be excited to play with him are Bergeron and Marchand and Pasternak, and I mean, we know them. The guys you got in free agency offensively suck.
If Tuukka can play close to what he was before he got injured, then you have a very good tandem right now, because Ullmark has been playing well. His game has gone up, and I got to think having Tuukka is only going to inspire him to play better.
Yeah, you would think. They have above average goaltending.
They do, yeah. They're above average, there's no question. And we'll see how well Tuukka holds up. I don't want to obviously call it before we see it.
Yeah, and I'm also not counting on Tuukka to like pull a Tim Thomas in the playoffs, you know. I mean, that's really what it would take for this team to, and it's unfair to him, but I mean, for this team to go anywhere in the playoffs, they would have to have a goaltender that like Carey Price to.
And you hit on something, Fred, at the beginning of the show, and I'm wondering, are there people who just hate, like Tuukka haters, people who hate Tuukka Rask, who after this move of him coming back to play for nothing just because he loves playing here, does that change anyone's mind? Like, are there people who hated Tuukka who now look at that and go, all right, that's kind of awesome?
Well, I don't get how you could hate him now. I mean, he's making $500,000 a year. He's not precluding them from doing anything else. Like, they didn't sink a bunch of money in him, and like it made it so they couldn't do other things.
No, but sure. It's that irrational hatred of Rask, regardless of whatever he does. And that's
why
it's been for the last 5 years.
But that's idiotic now, because they're not paying him. So, if he sucks, then don't play him. Like, they're under no obligation to do anything with the guy. Listen, I wasn't a fan of bringing him back and paying him, but if he wants to make $500,000, that doesn't stop them from doing anything.
Nothing.
So it
makes him better.
Right. And if he plays well, great. And if he doesn't, great. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. So, if you are pissed at Tuukka Rask now, my question to you would be why? He didn't do anything but ask to play. So, I mean, get pissed at management or get pissed at the coaching staff. Don't get pissed at Tuukka. And, you know, and if they want to, if they feel the way to get Swayman going is to get him in Providence and get him, you know, have him start every night in Providence, that's great. But no, the if you hate Tuukka now.
Yeah, still, why? Fred, tons of people who hate Tuukka Rask.
But why? Because even if he sucks, and say he starts in the playoffs and he sucks, then put in Ullmark, and then don't worry about Rask. They have nothing invested in him, nothing, nothing. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, they still could sign Foligno, and they could still bring in all the other champs that they brought in the offseason. He's not stopping. They still got Linus Ullmark. I mean, they got everyone they wanted. Yeah. So I mean, listen. If you want to get mad at anyone, get mad at Sweeney. That's who you get mad at. I don't know how. All right, Luke still hates Tuukka.
Okay. Oh, good. I stick to your guns, people, Luke. Yep. Go get him.
Luke, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
John, it's not an irrational hatred, first of all. But yeah, the reason that I still do hate him, Fred, is because of the reasons that you listed as to the reasons why he came back were, you know, the things that you said. Was, you know, well, I'm going to be here anyway. I like playing hockey. You know, maybe I might as well make 500 grand. None in there was, I want to win another Stanley Cup. I want to be a champion.
Well, I'm sure
he was.
Okay.
Hold on. The motivation there is not to win. And so the reason I hate him is because I don't care how good he plays. And because, you know, he was a post away from being terrible last night. In the third period, but when it comes down to crunch time and he doesn't win again, because I know, Rich, what you say is, you know, we can't win without him. Well, I haven't seen that we can win with him, and he's proven to me, and I'm not going to go through the list of why I'm a Tuukka hater, but
no he's
playoff time, he's gonna,
right, and he's struggled in the and he's had,
he's gonna bail
problems
on us again. He's well, going to let us down,
but if he bails,
his heart is not in it. His
but okay, all right first of all, I'm sure
wait, hang on,
Luke, I gave you the reasons why he came back. I'm sure he would want to win a cup, but however, here's the deal. But the point
high on the list, though.
I don't know what his list is.
You think that's the first thing on the list for Marshawn?
What do you want him to do? Do you want him to come out and make like a big Herb Brooks miracle speech to fans? Like what do you want?
I want his heart to be in to win.
Okay, but
and not for the other stuff.
All right, but here's the deal: is that if he doesn't play well, they don't have to play him. They're not invested in him.
I understand. I understand. I'm waiting for Swayman to be the starting goalie here. And if we didn't, and you're right, it's Sweeney's problem. It's Sweeney's fault.
It's Sweeney's
the
problem.
The reason that Swayman's not here is because we're paying Ullmark way too much money,
yes.
and we can't send him away.
Yes.
I get that.
Yes.
But because like you said, the veterans in this league are controlling this to the point where Tuukka just goes, well, you know, I'm going to get off my couch and play. And no, I don't want to play in Providence. I want to start here. And
all right. It's unfair to say he like doesn't want to win a cup. I mean, of course he wants to win a cup. But you're going to begrudge the guy for taking $500,000?
By the way, don't get it twisted. He could have gotten millions somewhere else.
Yeah, he was never going to leave. But the thing is that, like, first of all, like, I told you why he came back. I never thought it was necessary to go, like, yeah, he'd like to win a Stanley Cup. I'm sure he would love to win a Stanley Cup. You think that he doesn't want to win a Stanley Cup and get everyone on his back?
The thing I got out of that was, and it was kind of like a just an aside, he was a post away from being terrible last night.
Yeah.
That was on a breakaway, right? The guy hit the post on a breakaway? It wasn't his fault.
All I know is
that's what I'm talking about with the irrational hatred.
If he was making $6 million a year, then I get it. But he's not. But they don't need they could cut him tomorrow. They could cut him tomorrow and not it doesn't mean anything it doesn't matter. They can anything they were going to do, they can do with him. Anything that they were, it doesn't stop them from doing anything.
Fred, I thought for a minute this listener was mad at us, but now I just think he wants to buy us a coffee. He said, "You guys wearing knee pads while you filate Tuukka?"
No. Who's filleting Tuukka Rask?
No, filate. He apparently wants to get us a nice cup of joe.
Who's kissing Tuukka Rask's ass? I don't know. I don't get it.
See?
Yeah.
Now I'm
kissing his ass after all the things all the yelling and arguments I've gotten about Tuukka Rask, and now I'm kissing his ass. I don't get it. The guy, cut him tomorrow if they want to. It doesn't cost him any money. Well, he came back because he didn't want to leave. He didn't want to leave, and he just wanted to play. I mean, he still had to rehab the hip, and he still had to go out on the ice and do all that crap. Do I think Tuukka Rask? Some people overrate him, absolutely, and I've been in that argument a million times. But now, I mean, I don't care.
It's tough to overrate someone when they're making $500,000.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, right. Who cares? He doesn't make any money. Like, it's like crap. Like, Krejci was the highest paid player on the team, and you demand a lot from Krejci, and I don't think he lived up to the contract. If Krejci comes back for $500,000, then I don't care. Right? You get it?
Sure.
It makes sense. What I'm saying is completely logical. It doesn't stop you from doing anything else. Paying Krejci $7.5 million means a possibly better player or a couple of better guys weren't on the team. Rask's salary means nothing. It means nothing to the team. It doesn't affect them cap-wise. It doesn't affect any off-season maneuvering other than sending Swayman down. And if they want to bring Swayman up, they can. So what? He didn't want to play in Providence. I don't even know if he said he didn't want to play in Providence. They might have just said, you know what? You dominate the Flyers. Why don't you come back at home against the Flyers? It will ease you into things. I mean, he's, like, not a bad guy. I mean, unless you, like, thought he was, like, a total dick, like, you know, Cal Van Noy. Like, you know, like, he's not, like, a dick. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, hey, listen, Tuukka did not, in fairness, release a video that told the world that he was back.
And then do every interview and, like, over-laugh and act like a fool. I mean, unless you personally hate him, I don't get it. If you want to play for free, great. Who cares? And then, you listed why you wanted to come back. Well, I didn't think it was necessary to say he'd want to win a cup. Like, I mean, if you're going to come back, you might as well win. Like, you don't think he wants to win? You don't think he wants to win a cup? You don't think that Tuukka Rask, in all the years he's played and as close as he's gotten, you don't think he wants to win the Stanley Cup? Of course he wants to win the Stanley Cup. And if he screws around and leaves the team for personal reasons or whatever, then don't play him. then send him off and say see you later. And then bring up Swayman. You got your two goaltenders. It doesn't stop you from doing anything. Leave him alone. I busted that guy's balls for 10 years. Why would I now? You guys make no sense. And if he doesn't win a cup, send him home.
Fred, he was a post away from being awful last night.
That's so right. What? So what? You know what? If he comes out and Subban's it and lets the first five shots in, send him home and cut him and go home. And what are you on the hook for $200,000? It's a $1 billion organization. Get out of here with that nonsense. They own the effing TD Garden. Worried about $500,000. Please. They're off-season acquisitions. Be mad at Sweeney for screwing up the whole effing off-season. And again, I was hard on Krejci, but he was making $7.5 million. He was making more than Marchand, Bergeron, Pastrnak. He was making more than all of them.
It's different.
So if they want to bring back Krejci for $2, then bring him back. And if he sucks, cut him. Ugh. All right. Anyway, I'm not even mad at the caller. I don't understand why he doesn't get what I'm saying. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the old stackaroo?
The Colts implosion has gone next level. We have some breaking Deshaun Watson news. And what NFL quarterback just put out a super cool cryptic tweet that he hopes makes you think something super awesome about him?
Oh, God. All right. We'll be right back.
Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins beat Philadelphia last night 3-2 at TD Garden. They have 4 wins in a row. 7-game homestand continues tomorrow afternoon against Nashville. The NHL All-Star teams were announced yesterday. Patrice Bergeron voted as the Bruins' representative for the Atlantic Division. The NHL has suspended Montreal's Chris Weidman for 1 game after he headbutted the Bruins' Eric Halla 2 nights ago. Patriots are in Buffalo tomorrow night for a playoff game. 13 players listed as questionable, including Kyle Duggar, Isaiah Wynn, Christian Barmore, Damian Harris, and Jacoby Myers. Houston has fired head coach David Culley after 1 season, and the Celtics visit Philadelphia tonight. Marcus Smart is questionable. Grandy and Max have the pregame at 6:30 and the tip-off at 7 right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by the Diamond Guild in Norwood. Shopping for an engagement ring can be overwhelming, but not at Beatles Jeweler. They'll help you bring to life everything she's dreaming of at wholesale prices. Reserve now at thediamondguild.com. I'm John Wallach on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 10 o'clock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Touch her and rip.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
You got to stack it up, and you got to stack it down. All right. What's going on, Rich?
So, as I was saying this morning, I didn't get to watch the entire episode of Hard Knocks that aired, that chronicled the final game of the Indianapolis Colts' season, the one where they intended to clinch a playoff spot because they were playing the lowly Jacksonville Jaguars, and did not. Of course, it gave us a fantastic moment with Jim Irsay, if you remember from yesterday.
It's 4th-and-2 in Plus territory. What do the Colts do here?
Hey, we need one freaking yard. Let's go. It's got to convert.
Rush had an album title called Grace Under Pressure.
Okay, so that was his
Russian album titled Grace Under Pressure.
Yes, he did.
They moved away from a guitar sound into a more keyboard driven.
But I, once again, didn't watch the entire episode. I looked for the Ursay stuff. I watched a little bit more. I wanted to see the end of it, how it went. And Frank Reich had a big speech in the locker room. But what I didn't see was something that our own Michael Hurley, a good friend of our of the show's, ended up posting a video at the very beginning. And I don't know if this was just to set up things to look like even more of a disaster at the end of the episode or just to troll them. But it starts off the episode with, in Indianapolis, winning means everything. And it showed all of the banners they've got, including the AFC finalist one and the wild card banner that they had up there. But if you thought that things couldn't end more embarrassing for the Indianapolis Colts, Chris Ballard, the GM, remember, he's the rivalry is back on.
Right.
He was asked about Carson Wentz and how they feel about him being their quarterback.
When we made the decision, after Philip retired, and we made the decision to make a move on Carson, at the time of the decision, we felt good about it. And I still don't regret the decision at the time. I'm not going to, just sitting here today, just so y'all know, I won't make a comment on who's going to be here next year and who's not going to be here next year. That's not fair. That's not fair to any player. That's, I thought Carson did some good things, and there's a lot of things that he needs to do better.
Oh, you are the worst. Like, that is...
That's the same genius that gave Philadelphia a 3-1 to bring him in.
Oh, I mean, man. He is the worst. At the time, we felt it was the right decision. I mean, what do they do keep the guy? How is he going to feel coming back in when you have such great vote of confidence from Chris Ballard, your GM, like that? Oh, man, it has been glorious, and it's like only going to get, I think, more extreme from here. I told you, I forget which player it was in the Colts who posted a meme or liked a meme that somebody else posted of Wolverine sitting in bed, like, longing over a picture of Andrew Luck as if they wanted him back.
All right. Andrew Luck, who, by the way, never lived up to what he was supposed to be, but maybe not by his own fault. All right, I got to say something. You tweeted something out, and it's not what you tweeted that bothers me. It's what you subtweeted that bothers me. From WCVB TV, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Buffalo, quote-unquote, best fans billboard up put in the Gillette Stadium ahead of a Patriots game. Like, what are people doing that for?
Well, that's that guy, like the Buffalo guy who bought the billboard, was just like, oh, take that, we the best fans. And, you know, whatever, fine. But I just do find it funny that they have plenty of seats available for their game. Plenty of seats.
But, I mean, if you think about it rationally, like, yeah, a lot of people don't want to go and sit in that.
I know, but that is a fan base that brags about just how they'll go into the snow and they'll fight through all of it. It's the harsh weather that keeps them hard.
I'm a big Jets fan. I ain't going to any game that's cold. No way. I don't care if it's the AFC Championship game. No way, Jose.
But then again, you're not peacocking that you're the best fans in all of the NFL.
Hashtag Bills Mafia.
It makes me respect the people of Buffalo more that they actually are not going.
Yes. How high was that bar, though, in the first place?
Higher than yours. Because I've seen actually good-looking girls there, but nonetheless, okay.
Well, Fred, I thought you would enjoy this because here it is. It's cryptic tweet season in the NFL. And there's a certain gentleman who put a black and white photo of himself walking out of a tunnel with all of his gear on. And it's, you know, in that tone that makes it almost look like it's in a haze. And it says underneath it, light at the end of the tunnel. Oh, what could it mean?
Is he dying?
That could only be one other person. That would be
Mr. Unlimited.
Oh, Russell Wilson, what have you made this world do? Lose their minds, that's what.
Unlimited.
Don't leave, Russell Wilson. Yeah. Or maybe don't leave. Could he be our quarterback? Possibly. Oh, my goodness. So, GMs, get on the phone. Russell Wilson's available.
That's exactly. Yeah, like why don't you win?
You got the ball in your hands, you know, 40 times a game.
And you know what's great about this, Fred? Here's the best thing about all of it, is that he threw that out there so the whole world would lose their minds. And you know what it also is? Because he's an unoriginal bastard, it's a complete and total ripoff of when Tom Brady posted that one of him in a tunnel, and nobody knew whether he's coming or going. It is, I mean, he wants the love that Tom Brady has gotten so badly.
I wouldn't give up anything for that guy. I'd give up a third round pick. he's done. You want to talk about Deshaun Watson? Now I'm giving up my draft.
But Deshaun Watson, you give everything for. Whatever you got, you give it for Deshaun Watson.
But I mean, I want your garbage. Like, I want your broken down old quarterback. Right. But on top of everything else, bitches about everything.
Mr. Unlimited.
And who's like the biggest dork, like Urkel.
I just saw that. I was just like, nerd.
Yeah, he's a dork. Nerd. He's a dork. He is a dork. I mean, like, he's not respected by his team. I mean, they when he was good, I mean, they probably liked that he was good. But I mean, like, no one, like, likes him. He's a big, conceited dork.
That
everything he does is contrived and, like, wrong and misses the mark and is too late. I wouldn't give. What would you give up for him, John?
No more than I'd because he's a quarterback and because he's second? You know, a guy who could do it.
Yeah,
I'd give up a late second.
In a second, I'd give up a second round pick.
If I felt I was a quarterback away, I'd give up a late second round pick.
The Patriots gave up a second-round pick to bring him in next year. I'd be happy. Be like, wow, okay, now we're talking.
I actually would rather have Mac Jones than Russell Wilson.
I like the progression that they're on. It's fun to watch. But, I mean,
no, Russell Wilson now? Okay, for a season, fine. But you think you're winning a Super Bowl with Russell Wilson?
You get
a
lot closer.
Yeah, you'd win 2-3 more games. All right, everyone enjoy the game on Saturday and all the action headed your way. That'll do it for us. Johnny and I will be back on Monday.
Adam Jones.
With Adam Jones. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.